The success of anti-AIDS drugs may turn out to have a side effect, one that's taking years to come into view. People are surviving many years longer with HIV, but now they're suffering the early onset of problems like arthritis and memory loss, and worse. David France is one of the first journalists to look at this issue in an article in New York Magazine. How did this come to your attention?
It came to my attention, frankly, because I noticed that a number of my friends were having cognitive issues, forgetting things, forgetting appointments, forgetting whole conversations that we had had. And I spoke about it with one of my friends, a woman who has had HIV since the mid-80s. She was having trouble managing day-to-day life, cooking meals. She would start a meal and be so distracted that eventually she would find a burner on the stove going, the sink running water, and she'd be out gardening. And what wasn't being recognized at the time she and I spoke about this was that HIV, even in patients who are doing well on medication, as she had been, she'd been well-maintained for a decade or more, you know, on all the standardized tests. She seemed like, you know, a remarkable success story for HIV, and yet this had snuck up on her.
I suppose this explains why it might be sneaking up on people now. In the past, you didn't have people who had lived for 10 or 20 or even longer years with HIV.
That's true. And we didn't know much about HIV in the brain. She suffers from what now it turns out 50% of people with HIV are suffering from, some form of neurocognitive impairment. And altogether, we're looking at what researchers are now characterizing as rapid or advanced aging syndromes in people with HIV. Things like osteoporosis and osteopenia, cancers, kidney diseases, frailty, cardiovascular pictures of people that make them seem 25 years older than they are. And a lot of those may be related to the medications themselves. And that might be kind of the new question here is, we knew 15 years ago or 17 years ago that these new medications were very toxic and would have some sort of long-term negative impact on people's bodies, but we didn't know what that impact would be, and we're just now starting to gather that evidence.
I suppose this is appalling information because the fact is that if people were not taking these medications that may be toxic, they would most likely be dead.
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons I think we haven't looked at this very closely, because we really have scored huge successes back before 1996 when the new drug regimens were brought online. Average life expectancy was in the range of about 18 months post-diagnosis. So anything longer than that seemed like a huge, cause for celebration. And it was, and it is.
I want to bring another voice into the conversation. You have kindly brought along one of the people you interviewed for New York Magazine. His name is Joe Westmoreland. He's in the studios in New York. Mr. Westmoreland, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello.
Tell us a little bit about your story, if you would. When were you diagnosed with HIV?
I was diagnosed in 1982, and in 95, I got sick with AIDS. Until then, I'd been fairly okay.
In what must have seemed like a fortunate thing at the time, in the mid-90s when you developed symptoms, this was just the period when there was wider and wider use of a cocktail of drugs that seemed effective in treating AIDS.
It was just before that, and I was in a study group for them, so I was lucky because I got some of the first ones available. Then my T cells started rising.
T cells, that's basically a measure of your immune system and the strength of it.
Yes, it's still way under, but much better.
What have the symptoms, recent symptoms, been for you?
Well, I started getting neuropathy really soon, so it hurt a lot to walk around.
Define neuropathy for me.
It's nerve damage in your feet, and now it's spread to my hands. I was diagnosed with osteopenia. Let's see, the forgetfulness, like I'll be talking along and I know what I want to say, but it won't come out. It goes kind of blank. I have taken a lot of this stuff for granted because, like, until I read David's article, I just thought, you know, it's par for the course, just one of those things. And I didn't know it was all kind of a package that other people were doing, too.
David France, I suppose when you see problems like memory loss and other problems cropping up, the question has to be asked, is that some effect of AIDS that the drug never dealt with, or is it the drugs?
And those questions are just being formulated, but unfortunately, we don't have anybody studying that yet. We have some guesses about certain aspects of these. The bone loss and bone necrosis that we're seeing in people with HIV, it's assumed by most experts that that's caused by the drugs themselves. Certainly the neuropathy, as Joe described, is most likely related to the medications. But right now, The question now is, why don't we have more drugs, less toxic drugs? And where is all that energy that went into demanding these drugs through the 80s and 90s? Where is AIDS activism? Why aren't the people with HIV themselves organizing to call for research into the next frontline medications?
The answer, which you know very well, is that 10 or 15 years ago, AIDS was a deadly condition, and it appeared, we the public thought, that it had become more of a chronic condition and less of concern. And now you're arguing it's the needle is moving a little back the other way.
Yes, I'm arguing that, and I'm adding one other factor, that the energy for AIDS activism and AIDS thinking has moved globally to get these drugs that we've already identified into as many mouths and bodies as possible. And that has been very important. But all that energy going to getting people out of hospital beds in Africa has taken the spotlight away from the ongoing epidemic clinically. And that's what my article is about, to try to bring that attention back to what is AIDS today, and are we finished thinking about how to take care of it?
David France wrote an article in New York Magazine called Another Kind of AIDS Crisis. Mr. France, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Joe Westmoreland is one of the patients who was interviewed for that article. Mr. Westmoreland, thank you.
You're welcome.
You can read an excerpt and see photos from the New York Magazine article at npr.org.